Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 72. We are coming to you on a wonderful early February weekday night. I'm going to be talking to you about the Destiny 2 development roadmap, which they so kindly dropped for us on January 31st. And then we're also going to be talking about the Sandbox developer commentary that Josh Hamrick was kind enough to post out for us, I believe on February 1st. So it's nice to actually have some news. It's nice to actually have some stuff to talk about. We've got mostly good things to say on it, but we won't spoil it. Let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcher. And how are you doing tonight, Kit?
Mercules cannot complain, man. I'm feeling good. I've been doing a little bit less video gaming, which is unusual and kind of feels a little wrong, but it's actually left me feeling really refreshed, and like every time I log in is super exciting, and just so much more relaxed than it has been for a while, which has been nice. So I got a little Iron Banner, and it felt good. It felt good to be back at it. How about you?
Yeah, I've actually been pretty much in the exact same boat. I've always been a one video game type of player. Like, I almost never spend my time playing multiple video games because I like to really, really, like, get good at games. And the only way to do that is to spend a lot of time playing them. So I've never actually, like, split my time between multiple games. And now that I'm not playing that much Destiny 2, I haven't even really found another game to play. I'm kind of just not playing video games that much, which is a shame. But I have been throwing it back to Halo every once in a while. And just when I get that itch, I'll toss in Halo 3, play the campaign, or a little bit of Halo Reach. I was even playing some of Halo Reach's multiplayer the other day. I threw Destiny 1 back into the Xbox for the very first time since Destiny 2 came out. Played a little bit of that, reminded me some of the things I loved about Destiny 1, and very quickly also reminded me about some of the things I hated about Destiny 1, so it was pretty interesting. But I also played a little bit of Iron Banner. I played about two full nights worth of Iron Banner. Had a surprisingly good time. I did what I normally do, which is I lobby watch and I back out anytime I get into a four-man, which, yes, I know some people have a problem with that, but I don't quit once the game has started. I just back out of the lobby every time I see a four-man join it. That way I'm not screwing anyone over on my team or anything like that. I just personally, at this point in time, in the state of the Crucible, don't feel like playing against a four-man, and so I do that to myself, and really, truly enjoyed it. It was actually a ton of fun, so I don't know. Maybe that bodes well for the future.
So to put that in the most awkward terms possible, you're a bit of a serial monogamist when it comes to video games, but right now, you're just kind of exploring your options.
Yep, and that's weird because that's exactly the same way I am in my love life too. I've been single for very few periods of time in my entire adult life. I've almost always had one girlfriend. So I guess I like to devote myself, you know, wholeheartedly to one endeavor, and that's pretty much it. And you're right. I'm kind of just going with the flow of it right now, seeing where things take us. I mean, the development roadmap has me feeling good about Destiny's future. The honest truth is, and I said this months and months ago, is that Destiny 2 is going to end up being a great game. I have faith in Bungie to do that, even though Bungie made the mistakes and Destiny 2 came out and wasn't what people wanted it to be. I have faith it's going to be a fantastic game because we saw them, which, impartially, Destiny 1 was a much, much worse game at launch than Destiny 2 was, and they made it into a very, very good game within a year. And I see them doing the exact same thing with Destiny 2. They might not be doing it exactly the way we want them to, or they might be not doing it as fast as we want them to, but they are doing it. And the Destiny development roadmap pretty much proves that. We're going to not talk about the 1.1.2 update because that one we discussed a while ago. That one's already out. We are going to talk about the 1.1.3, which is February 27th, 1.1.4, which is March 27th, and then 1.2, which comes with Season 3 in May, which I assume is also when the Gods of War DLC is going to drop.
Yeah, if you signed up for numbers, there's your numbers for this week. We don't have a whole lot of detail yet, except for all of the update numbers are out way in advance of when we would usually have them. So, but yeah, that's right. They did announce that DLC 2 will drop with Season 3. So it does sound like it has been pushed back to May, or I guess I don't know if pushed back is the right word since we never had a firm release date given to us. I think there was maybe some kind of a leak that it might come out in March, but that was never officially confirmed. Was pulled, I think, the same day. And so this is really the first confirmation, but they did say Gods of Mars, I believe, is what they're calling it, and that is due out in May. And I'm getting the shrug. We're not... I guess we're not 100% on the name, but that's...
Nope, doesn't have a date for us. But yeah, like you said, we don't have many numbers for you. They talked a lot about changes to balance, but they did not give us any numbers. And although the changes sound good right now, without hard numbers, without a way to test it, we are probably not going to be able to really, you know, give you that deep dive that we're used to giving and that we like to give. We can give our opinions on the idea of the changes, but without numbers, it's kind of ringing hollow until we actually see it. But, you know, we'll get to that when we get to that. That's more Josh Amrick's thing. That's more the sandbox changes. As far as the development roadmap, February 27th, we're getting Nightfall scoring and high score tracking, something I very, very much like in PvE content, so I'm excited to do that. We're getting an emblem and aura rework. Don't know for sure what that means, but they're so boring right now that it cannot be anything but positive, I'm thinking. It will show Fireteam members' destination on the map, which is incredible and something we've been wanting for a very long time. There's going to be PC public text chat, which is going to be opt-in, the same way the Fireteam chat is opt-in in Destiny 2 on console. They're going to start reducing the exotic repetitions, which is good. They're going to start changing the companion mod and shader interactions. Not 100% certain on that. Companion viewing for vendors, which I assume both of those things are for the mobile companion app. And then they're going to try to add in Nightfall Strike unique rewards, which I hope will be like the rewards we had in Destiny 1 that you could get from Strike exclusive loot. I really hope it's something like that. They say that is a stretch goal and it may slip into a later release, but they're really hoping that they can do that in February, late February.
Yeah, so the just to clarify, the companion mod shader interactions, what they're adding in there is the ability to do things with mods and shaders in the companion app. We don't know exactly what all they're going to give us the ability to do, but I think it's safe to assume that what they're aiming for is the ability to apply mods and shaders in the app, because that's something that you cannot do right now. And so that would be, I mean, that'd be cool, be able to do that on your phone. I wouldn't be mad about it. It's kind of a, I guess I would probably put that underneath Nightfall Strike Unique Rewards as a goal, but it's a completely different team, so it's not like it's the same people. You know, the people who are writing mobile apps probably are not coding Nightfall rewards or creating the art and the animations for them. Those are two immensely different jobs. I'm not going to be sad about it. And being able to see the vendors in the companion app is something that I guess I was always surprised wasn't a thing. So that'll be great that they have that. I know the a lot of the third-party apps have had that kind of functionality for since Destiny 2 came out, for the entirety of the game's life. So it'll be good to see that in the official app. That's about all I can say about that.
Just unfortunately, the companion app has taken a major step backwards from what it was in Destiny 1. And you know, third-party apps have always had a little something extra on the companion app. But the Destiny 2 companion app, I mean, I don't remember the last time I used it for anything at all. I mean, I legitimately just don't remember the last time I used it. And that's not a good thing to me because it's supposed to be the companion app. And I really couldn't care less whether I had it or not. And in Destiny 1, at least I used it a pretty regular amount. So, but in terms of what I'm excited for, the Nightfall scoring and high score tracking is probably number one. Nightfall Strike unique rewards, if it makes it in, would be number two. And the Emblem Aura rework would be number three. Although Fireteam members on the Destination map will be useful, I honestly don't really care that much. It wasn't that hard to ask people where they were. And PC public text chat, don't play in PC, so not caring about that too much either. But I am happy for the PC guys. They've been asking for text chat for a very, very long time, so I'm happy they finally get it. Exotic repetition stuff, you know, good quality of life improvement, probably should have been there to begin with, but not, I haven't had that bad of issues with exotic repetition, so not too terrible.
So on the PC public text chat, there's, you know, it's I'm really happy that they're adding it. There's some drama, of course, about it being opt-in versus opt-out. A lot of people feel very strongly that it should be, like, default, you have text chat. That's something that has been a default in many games for many years. I was a big Guild Wars player for a lot of years, in my wild youth, and text chat was the default there. You could opt out of various channels. You could mute them if people were spamming or just being jerks on them. But it was the default that it was turned on, and that's the case, as I understand it, in the vast majority of open world games. Or games that have an open world component, as Destiny does. And so the fact that it is opt-in versus opt-out is kind of rubbing some people the wrong way. I guess I don't see it as a huge deal, but I also am not someone who is going to be using it because I'm not playing on PC at present. And so I guess I'm kind of curious to get some feedback on social media if anybody wants to hit me with kind of an explanation of why they really feel that it should be the other way around. For me, I guess I'm okay with it. I think, this is fine. If somebody just wants to go in and play the game, Destiny is not a game where you are like trading gear, which in Guild Wars and in a lot of MMORPGs is huge, right? You're trading stuff all the time. The player economy is a massive, like, sub game within the game where you're trying to get the stuff that you need from other people, and that doesn't happen in Destiny. It's not a thing. So the need for public chat, in my mind, is like 90% lower than in the vast majority of games that would have it. But I'm curious to know if there's a rationale that it is public chat is more important than I realize. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I understand their frustration with it because we wanted a chat in, like, we wanted a fire team chat in multiplayer for Destiny 1, and we got it, and nobody uses it because it's not opt out, it's opt in.
Sure.
And not only is it opt in, but it's relatively button, heavy to opt in to it, so nobody ever does it. And the vast majority of the playing population uses whatever the defaults are. They play the default playlist, they
Yep.
use the default control settings, they use the default chat
That's
settings.
fair.
So I understand their frustration because I think it's an overreaction on Bungie's part because they feel like it is worth it to negate all the positive interactions that come from having an opt-out chat because of the few negative interactions that do. And in my experience as a gamer, I don't feel that the negative outweighs the positive. So if it were me, I would make it an opt-out system, because I think 90, maybe not 90% of the time, but 75, 80% of the time, you're going to have positive interactions with the people in your strike, the people in your game, and if you don't, you can mute them. You can just mute them. Whereas if it's opt-in, I think 90% of the time, it's never even going to get used. So I can see the frustration there. But better, here's the honest truth, better to have opt-in than nothing at all. So.
Yeah. Yep, that is for sure. And I didn't want to get too deep into it. Obviously, it's not something that's really focused for us. I just felt like it was worth acknowledging that there was kind of a discussion there. And obviously, we've got kind of two got a couple of different viewpoints that are totally valid to have on that subject. I'd be really interested to hear from anybody who is playing on PC. Does it affect your experience? Do you know whether it's opt-in as it's being implemented or as they're planning to implement it? Would it be? Do you think it would be a lot better as opt-out or not? So hit me up at Destiny MVP at KYT underscore Kutcha. If you can't spell Kutcha, sorry.
Yep. And we can move on from there, go to March update. So the March update is the one I'm most excited for a number of reasons.
Yeah,
Weapon
this is a
ability
good one.
sandbox changes are going to be coming. Heroic strike modifiers are going to be coming. Iron Banner 6v6. Weekly Crucible playlists, including Mayhem. They're doing Crucible ammo and gameplay tuning. They're adding Nightfall challenge cards, Crucible quitter penalties. Repeat Crucible map and strike protection, and possibly exotic weapon and armor sandbox changes. So I'm stoked and excited about every single one of those things, with the exception of the Crucible quitter penalties. The reason why I'm not is, look, if that is in the competitive playlist only, then I am totally okay with that. If you put that in quick play, with the amount of connection issues that this game seems to bring out, with the prevalence of four-man teams brutally stomping random players, with how ridiculously lenient the mercy rule is, meaning you can lose 65-5 or some ridiculous crap, I just don't think quitter penalties are going to be something that we really want to be forcing people to stick around in games that they're not enjoying for fear of being banned for a period of time. And I say this as someone who went through Halo 3, which their only quitter penalty was a took-away experience, to Halo Reach, where their quitter penalty was a timeout. And it just always struck me as unfair that in a game that was not a competitive situation, quitters were penalized. I don't agree with that. Now, for competitive playlists, oh, by all means, stick a quitter penalty in there. You shouldn't be joining the competitive playlist if you're not ready to sit out a game regardless of what the score is. But for quick play, not so much.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of being competitive, obviously, is taking your licks when you're getting beat. You know, it's so important, I think, you know, if you're going to play anything competitively, whether it's Destiny or, you know, some kind of an athletic sport or whatever it might be, getting beat is a learning opportunity. And you should not be quitting out of a game that you're losing, because that's a fantastic opportunity to find out what you're doing wrong. But for quick play, for casual play, it doesn't do anything but discourage somebody. You know, like speaking, you know, I guess maybe on behalf of parents who play Destiny, there are times when I'm halfway through a match and it's going great, and my daughter runs up to me and needs something. You know, it who knows what it is. You know, she just accidentally dumped juice all over the carpet. She, you know, needs me to look at this super important thing that she's made of Legos. And I look away, you know, where I get distracted. And sometimes I step away and I get booted to orbit. Or sometimes I'm like, okay, this is going to take 5 minutes. I'm not going to finish this match. And so I quit out so that maybe somebody else can join. And if I'm, and I plan my playtime. If I'm going to be jumping into trials or competitive, I'm in a situation where I'm not responsible for taking care of a four-year-old, because you can't do both of those things at the same time, you know. But if I'm just hopping into some quick play, hoping to grab some quick matches while she's, you know, watching TV or playing with her toys and doesn't need any attention, you know, sometimes things come up. And if I'm going to get stuck with some kind of a penalty every time I jump out, I'm going to stop playing quick play, and I'm going to stop playing Crucible a lot of times, because it's, you know, I don't feel like getting punished for just adulting. You know, my life doesn't revolve around it, and so I'm going to walk away from that portion of the game during times when I might otherwise have a little bit of time to play. So I agree. I hope that it is a competitive playlist thing. That's where it belongs.
To me, the best analogy is quick play is a pickup game of football on the beach.
Yeah.
And competitive is a league play. And in a league, you can't just give up unless you forfeit, which is an official process. And in pickup games on the beach, you can just walk away whenever you want. It doesn't really matter. Because pickup games on the beach doesn't really matter who wins. It's fun to play one way or the other, but it doesn't really matter who wins. It's that type of thing for me. So no more on that. I think we beat it into the ground. But the weapon ability sandbox changes, we'll talk about those in a bit once we're done with the roadmap. Heroic strike modifiers, I'm hopeful that these are the things that allow you to change your strike and that you can pick them.
Yes.
I don't know if they're going to be that. They mentioned that a while back, but they might just be like the modifiers that are from Destiny 1 where they just rotate out every couple of weeks. I really hope they're the ones that are like skulls from Halo, where you could pick them and they change your scores, though, because that would be awesome.
Dude, that would have me playing so much more. I really hope. That was something I wanted in Destiny 1. We talked about that months ago, and I would love to see that in Destiny 2. They've got some really cool modifiers that I would love to be able to kind of opt into.
And then something I'm super excited for is 6v6 Iron Banner. Now, I know that in the current state of the Crucible, switching just to 6v6 is not the way to solve the problems, but I'm interested to see how 6v6 plays in this game because it's something we've never gotten a chance to play. And personally, in my opinion, the more players per team, the better for casual gameplay. I think 4v4 and 3v3 and 2v2 are fantastic for competitive game modes, but I'm really a huge fan of the 5v5, 6v6, all the way up to 8v8 or 9v9. I love those style of gameplays for casual games. And Destiny 2 at its heart is pretty much a casual game, so I'm very much looking forward to playing some 6v6.
Yeah, 100% agree. I mean, it's tough to really pass judgment at this point, one way or the other, whether it'll be good or bad. I think at the very least, it's going to be new, and that's going to be worth some playtime. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think 6v6 is actually, people think it's gonna like make a much more prevalent team shot meta even than there already is because huge roving packs of players are going to roam around. I actually don't think that's gonna happen. I think you're gonna be more likely to catch solo players off on their own when you're playing 6v6. When you're playing 4v4, it's very easy for all four members of the team to align themselves near each other where they're not getting in each other's way, where they are, capable of still being useful, given the size of the lanes, the size of the maps in Destiny 2. In 6v6, I don't think it would be very useful to have all six people grouped up like that. I think it would, in fact, be more of a hindrance. So I think you're actually going to be a lot more likely to see individuals roaming off on their own. Perhaps small groups of two splitting off on their own. I just think it's going to bring a lot of variety to the Crucible, and something I'm very, very much looking forward to.
Yeah, I think with the with kind of the tighter map design that we've seen, I mean, I think you're right. To a certain extent, you're gonna have people blocking each other if you're trying to group up as six. It's gonna be tough to bring that many weapons to bear, and you're really not gonna get anything more out of it than you would if you just had a group of three or four. There's no gain to having all six of you in one place. So I think, I would expect that you see teams trying to split into two a lot more often, trying to do two different things at the same time, maybe trying to do three different things at the same time, seeing some lone wolves and some, like you said, some teams of two. I think one thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a lot more chaos on the map, and that, especially in Iron Banner or in a quick play situation, I think can only be good. Especially for, players who are kind of in the middle or lower skill range, I think it's going to make the game more fun because they're going to have more opportunity to have kind of that unexpected success that really made Destiny 1 enjoyable. Even if you weren't great, every now and then you went on a tear. And that there's a possibility that 6v6 might help that happen.
Then there's going to be a weekly Crucible playlist, which includes Mayhem. That's good because the more playlists, the better. There's going to be Crucible ammo and gameplay tuning, as well as exotic weapon armor sandbox changes. We can't speak on those things yet. They just haven't given us enough numbers. We'll try to detail as much as we can when we talk about Josh Hamrick's part a little bit. We've already spoken on the quitter penalties. The Nightfall challenge cards are, I believe, going to be things very similar to like tracking high scores and stuff like that. Maybe similar to the Prison of Elders cards from Destiny 1, where it would track your number of runs, it would track your number of scores, stuff like that. It would keep track of a high score, of a total score for each week, which I think is pretty cool. And then repeat Crucible map strike protection just to stop you from being the exact same map or strike multiple times in a row. That stuff's all pretty self-explanatory. Do you have anything else to add, or do you want to move on to Season 3?
No, yeah, let's take a look at season three.
So season three has been, it's a lot of really exciting, really cool stuff, but they have not explicitly detailed a vast majority of it. We have the Eater of Worlds prestige mode coming out, which is the raid lair, the drop with Curse of Osiris is coming out. I would also assume that another raid lair will be dropping sometime around when the DLC drops. There's seasonal Crucible rankings, which are the rankings you saw that they look similar to ELO. One goes up depending on how much you play, goes up faster if you win, but it goes up no matter what. And then the other one goes up based on wins and losses, or goes up based on wins, goes down based on losses. Private matches will be coming out. They're going to give us 50 more slots in the vault. We're going to have a multi-emote thing. We'll be able to choose which emotes we want. We're going to get exotic masterworks. There's going to be a different seasonal vendor progression. Faction rallies are going to get improvement, and they're hoping to also slot some mod system improvements in there. As much as I would like to talk about all of this stuff, they really just haven't given us enough details on any of it. And I mean, I would love to talk about the seasonal crucible rankings.
There's a salty joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, but we just don't really know enough about how they're going to work to make anything, you know, other than hearsay at this point.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to have to wait for a future podcast when we really know the details and we can iron it out.
Yeah, we can speculate to high heaven, but at the end of the day, our guess is, you know, no better than yours. So
what I will say is, if all that stuff comes to pass, season 3 is shaping up like it could see a massive, massive resurgence. If the sandbox changes are positive and the game starts playing better, and you combine that with private matches, and you combine that with rankings, you could see, and you combine that with bringing back 6v6, more playlists, you could see a massive, massive influx of people coming back into the game. Could, if they do it right.
Yep, there's a lot of potential in there, a lot of exciting stuff. It's too bad we don't have our hands on any details yet, but I guess they have to save something for a future TWAB to, you know, can't dump all the details at once, especially if they don't have them yet. So I'm not sad. They have, at this point, 3 more months to work on that stuff to get it right. Something we were just talking about before the podcast is how difficult and time-consuming and how much development of anything, applications, software, video games, can be 2 steps forward, 1 step back. So we want them to have some time to get it right. But I think that leaves us with really the only thing left to talk about, the area where we actually have some detail, being Hamrick's update. And even there, we don't have a ton of detail yet, but at least we have some specifics as far as what they are looking at tuning.
We've got some interesting things here from Josh Hamrick. Josh Hamrick is one of the sandbox leads at Bungie, which means he's making changes to PvE, and I believe some of those changes filter over into PvP, but I don't believe he specializes in PvP. I think that Wisniewski and maybe someone else do. But regardless, he's talking about the sandbox as a whole, PvP and PvE. He refers to this as the Go Fast update. The purpose of it is to increase the pace of battle. It is to increase movement speed in general, and it will definitely do that. They're bringing back all 3 glides, which I guess are the Warlock's glides. And they're also bringing back Catapult and Strafe Lift. They have been returned and buffed to make them unique and faster. What I assume that means is that Titan Skating and Warlock Gliding and Warlock Surfing are now back on the menu, is what I assume that means.
That's what
I
don't it sounds know if
they'll
like.
Be at the level of D1, but that's what it sounds like to me.
I thought it was really interesting that he used the word unique right there. That really gets me curious what exactly they're cooking up for us. Like, what, I mean, a glide or a surf, I don't know what makes those unique.
And it might just be Bungie speak. It might not be anything.
That's fair.
But it might be something. They've changed the way mobility works. It's basically just been completely retuned. In short, giving you mobility will make you faster. So the way mobility works right now is it basically increases your walk speed and your strafe speed. And it increases your jump height.
Yep.
A small amount.
Very small.
But it doesn't make your sprint faster. But what they're... I think they're making the higher end of your walk speed much, much faster, perhaps, because they said the player's ground speed cap has been increased. It allows for total faster movement, regardless of how you get there. So I believe right now it caps out at like 1.25 is like the fastest speed you can have on normal. And that's with a combination of like Mida and a lightweight weapon or something like that.
That's about right.
And I think they're going to just bump that up so that at the top end, you can be noticeably faster, or hopefully noticeably faster. But the problem is, we're not really going to know how that works until we get a chance to play it, and that's going to be a little while from here.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's good to hear as somebody who plays Hunter in Destiny a lot, primarily, which, as it turns out, I mean, somebody in our Discord's been kind of looking into this, and Hunter is the class most likely to be a main. And Hunter, of course, has the mobility handicap, because mobility is a bit of a dump stat for the majority of players right now. It doesn't do as much as recovery and toughness, in terms of keeping you alive and allowing you to play the game and have success. Especially when you can just run Mida, or another speed impacting exotic, or even some legendaries in will increase your speed. So it's good to hear that mobility will actually make a bit more of a difference. It'll make me feel better about having to play with mobility armor as a hunter. So that's, you know, it sounds like a small kind of a tuning, but it's for hunters, it's really exciting to hear that they're looking at that.
Yep, and also exciting for hunters. Three of the supers are going to get buffed in terms of movement speed. Arc Strider, Sentinel, and Striker, they all are going to move faster. Arc Strider as a whole, he said it's performing well, but not at all due to its super. It's mostly its neutral game perks. So the attack animations are faster, the dodge animations are faster, and there's increased range for all attacks. Not to mention, just in general, supers will recharge faster for everyone. What I'm hoping that this means is in quick play, everybody will be able to get two supers and the best players will be able to get three. I don't know if they're going to make it that much of a difference, but I feel like you have to. Right now, it's pretty much everybody gets one super and the best players get two. If you make it to where everybody gets two supers, although that is a little bit more fun, I feel like you still need to reward those best players with a chance at a third.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that's the amount that they buff it to. But again, he just said recharge faster. It doesn't necessarily tell us how much faster.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's possible if you're just really destroying somebody, it's possible to get three supers. I've seen it happen. I've not done it. I don't got those skills, but
You basically have to get an orb train going, though. So not only do
yeah.
you have to destroy people, but your teammates have to destroy people. You have to pick up orbs, and then yeah, it is possible, but it's very, very, very difficult if you're not in an organized fire team who's just pub stomping.
The reason I mention it though is I really feel like even if they buff it enough to give everybody two supers, I think they're gonna leave that possibility open that you might be able to get to three without having to do that extra work, that the whole orb train. I'm hoping that they do set it up though so that we don't see somebody rolling four supers without going to an insane amount of work and getting a little lucky on top, because that could be a little bit too much at a regular Crucible match.
And speaking of buffs, they've buffed several weapon archetypes, including but not limited to hand cannons, pulse rifles, sniper rifles, shotguns, and they buffed a few specific perks. We get no details on that at all, but I think we can all agree that at least hand cannons, pulse rifles, and sniper rifles all needed a buff. Shotguns, I would not necessarily say needed a buff. The Legend of Acarus in particular is absolutely brutal in PvP. I think they're just woefully underutilized because people rely on rocket launchers because they think rocket launchers are easy mode. They said a key goal was to make shotgun snipers and fusion rifles more prevalent. If that's what you want, you can do that. I absolutely booty merc with fusion rifles right now. So if you want to make my fusion rifles even more powerful, just be careful with that because if fusion rifles are not powerful right now, then I don't want to see how easy they're going to be you able to use when they are powerful. Because I could pretty much get four guaranteed kills with every fusion rifle that I get. So if those are not easy, then you know all I'm saying is be careful. Sniper rifles, hand cans, pulse rifles, they pretty clearly needed some buffs. All scout rifles except for Mida, I think need some buffs. Shotguns and fusions, it's a slippery slope to me, especially because here's the next type of thing, more heavy ammo, more power ammo. In quick play, it's been reduced by 30% how long it takes to spawn, and survival by 40%, and countdown by 25%. And not only that, but now when you kill someone, anybody can pick it up. Not just you or your teammates, but also their teammates can pick it up. So what I'm starting to worry about here is that we're going to see a massive, massive increase in power weapon usage in the Crucible. And if those buffs to hand cannons and pulse rifles are not enough, it's basically going to be whichever team gets heavy, kills the other person with heavy, and then has two heavies. And just brutally, brutally dominates you during that heavy thing, especially because mobility is going to be so much faster, which mobility in a game like Destiny does not actually benefit primary gameplay. Because here's the way you look at it. You're engaging someone, they're next to a wall, you're next to a different wall. They use their faster mobility to get behind that wall. You can't go chasing them. Because as soon as they got behind that wall, now you're attacking and they're defending. And it makes it easier for them. So mobility in a game like Destiny actually benefits the person who wants to leave the engagement more than it benefits the person who is wanting to get into the engagement. The only thing I'm worried about here, like I said, I like all these changes. I do think there need to be increased mobility. I do think there need to be more power weapon usage. But what also needs to happen is that primary weapons need to kill faster. If you increase those two things around primary weapons, then the dichotomy in gameplay is going to be even greater than it already is. And that's what I'm worried about. Now, if the buff to those archetypes is as powerful as it could be or as it should be, I don't think we'll have anything to worry about. I think the Crucible is going to be in a fantastic place. But we'll have to see.
Yeah, a lot is really riding on the details of those buffs and exactly what they're looking at changing. I was really surprised to see fusion rifles in that list as well. What I'm hoping is that they're talking about the non-high impact fusion rifles. They're looking at all of these other archetypes that don't see as much play and saying, what can we do to make these more viable or have a more unique kind of a value proposition to give players a reason to choose them? Because right now, if you are playing a higher impact fusion rifle, I mean, you just, you know, you charge, you pop out, you voop somebody from across the map, you go back into cover and start looking for the next blip on your radar to disintegrate, because I mean you just can't lose that firefight unless you make a mistake. If you miss, sure, you're in trouble, but if you spend all your time playing fusion rifles, you don't miss. I mean, it's fun right now. I'm not gonna say otherwise. It's fantastic. I love where fusion rifles are at least as far as the higher impact ones go. So I was really surprised to see that. Snipers, I think the general agreement is they need some work. The flinch, it sounds like, is pretty rough for people who play sniper rifles a lot. I pretty much have always stayed away from snipers in multiplayer games, and so I can't say, you know, one way or the other. Shotguns, I feel like there are a lot of shotgun archetypes that are fun to play right now. The slug shotguns are a lot of fun to work on your precision. Some of the high-impact, shorter-range ones are really fun because they really empower you to kind of warrior your way in, and they're very effective at close range. There are probably some archetypes that are less effective, but some of those are actually pretty decent in PvE. So I'm not sure exactly what the concern is with shotguns. I invite you to tell me that I'm wrong and that shotguns are terrible in Destiny 2, but I haven't seen it, so...
Well, in PvE, I can see them all getting a buff, because right now, in raid groups, you're pretty much only using rockets. So I could definitely see shotguns, fusions, and snipers getting a buff for that. But the truth of the matter is, I was using a fusion through the raid as much as possible. I thought Merciless was an exceptional fusion. It was wonderful at killing bathers. So, I mean, I used fusions. Shotguns are pretty nice. I mean, like you said, a lot of this just rides on the numbers. Depending on what they do and how they do, even though they gave us approximate timers for power ammo respawns, that's really all the info they gave us, and that's not really that much. And this, all these changes sound good, but it just depends on how they do them. And that's going to be make or break for a lot of people. I mean, so much is riding on this sandbox update. If they screw this up and they somehow make the game less fun to play, which you think would be pretty difficult considering where the game's at right now, you would think it'd be hard for them to make it worse. But that's the problem with sandbox balancing, is there's such a narrow path to walk that you can make people happy. And if you divert on either side, you infuriate almost everyone. Because you pissed off the people who liked it before when you changed it, and you pissed off the people who wanted you to change it a different way and you didn't. and you very rarely make people happy. Now, one thing that will make everybody happy is they are going to undo the shoulder charge nerf. Thank goodness. I am so happy about that. I was furious when they did that the last time. And they actually said that they think it's funny that there are a number of gameplay items that perform or use differently than they expected but are thoroughly enjoyed. Said in the future, we want to embrace the state of this gameplay and balance around it, not against it. This comes back to my suggestion from Destiny 1 that said don't remove... Although originally I was on the remove Titan skating train, I spoke to a bunch of Titan mains, had discussions with them, and said, you know, don't remove Titan skating, but balance it out. There needs to be a drawback to using it. So take away some armor. If you choose to use Titan skating, if you choose to use more control, take away some armor for using that jump. I thought that was a fair way. I didn't think they needed to totally remove it. But they seems like they've learned their lesson, and they're adding it back in, which I will be very, very happy with.
Yeah, I always thought that was a really good point. You know, people are always going to find a way to use things a little bit differently than you expect. This is something that, you know, I play a lot of pen and paper RPGs. I have for years and years now. And something that you learn really quickly as a player or as somebody managing or running one of those games, expect people to just completely go in a different direction than you intended them to go. And that's so true in video games as well. A lot of times the constraints are much tighter. There's only so many things you can do, but people are going to find ways to exploit game mechanics, and you just have to roll with it. If you constantly punish people for being really excited and really devoted to your game, they're going to stop being excited and devoted to your game, which is a problem that Bungie has encountered with Destiny repeatedly over the last few years. And unfortunately, it's kind of hurt, I think, their reputation with certain groups of players. I'm glad to see that they're turning that around. I hope that they really carry that forward, because there are a lot of people who love hunting down things like that. And certainly some stuff that negatively affects thousands and thousands of players' experiences, like map exploits that allow you to just get free kills, yes, that has to be patched. But stuff like this where it's fun, it doesn't, you know, if somebody's a good player, they're still going to be a good player if they use it. If they're not a good player, they're still not going to be good if they use it. It's just something that kind of changes the way you play. That has to be embraced, and I'm so glad they finally got that message. Hopefully, they carry it forward, and hopefully they start to rebuild some of that relationship with the community.
We'll say better late than never on this, and also better late than never, they're talking about snipers. They said people were rightfully complaining the snipers flinch too hard. They said they've tried to rectify it, but they found out there's a bug that's preventing them from being able to successfully tune this value as much as they would like. They haven't been able to fix this bug, but they are actively working on it. And they said they think the changes in this patch will still make the snipers feel good, but they won't be perfect. And they want to acknowledge it and have us understand that, hey, they know it's there. They have heard us. They also want to change it. It's just going to take a little bit of time. And that's pretty much it from this sandbox update. They are going to start... They're going to start changing the mod system. They said they want to start using that to buff ability cooldowns. They want to give exotics a balance patch. And they're also going to start looking at the weapon slot system and how the different types of weapons fit into the future of the game, which I know some people will look at and say, hopefully they're going to go back to primary, special, heavy. If they do and it's balanced well, I won't be upset. I will not. If they don't and they keep it at, you know, kinetic energy power and they balance it well, I also won't be upset. I'm one of the few people out there who doesn't think that the double primary loadout system is bad. I actually like it. I think it's pretty fair overall. I like the variety it gives me. I understand why in PvE it comes off as boring. I think that's more because of the lack of balance of the power weapons in PvE than it is anything else. But I also think that there's a level of gameplay in Destiny 2 that people haven't seen yet. And the reason I say this is because I think everybody hit that team shot plateau, and it was so easy to do and so boring and so infuriating to play against. And I think a lot of people, a lot of really good players, quit Destiny 2 before they actually got really, really good. And I see this every once in a while. But I'll be watching gameplay of a really good player who's playing solo, and they just go on a tear, and they are unstoppable. Truly, truly unstoppable. And I'm left wondering if there's another level of Destiny 2 competitive gameplay that we haven't seen yet, because the community revolted so quickly and so ferociously against the style that was being pushed on us that nobody ever bothered to try to make it there. If that makes sense.
That's a really interesting thought. I guess I'll say it again. I've said this from the beginning. I think that the change to a kinetic energy power weapon was a great move for a variety of reasons. I don't find it boring in any aspect of the gameplay. The weapon system has never been a complaint for me. That's never been something that I feel like is a problem. I had a lot of complaints about the way that the weapon system ended up in Destiny 1, and I felt like they were at a point where they probably were never going to get it right. And so I was fine. I was actually happy that they were changing things up and trying something brand new. So I hope that they don't change it, personally. I understand there are some people who want them to, and I know that they have some pretty good reasons, and I'm not going to say that, you know, if you feel that way, your feelings are wrong. We disagree on the subject, and that's okay. That's a healthy thing to do. But that's interesting what you're talking about, though, about a different level of play, because you're right. A lot of players who, I guess, you know, are the people that we would watch for super high-level play, the kind of play that we saw in some of the tournaments for Destiny 1 in the last year of the game, the kind of tournaments that we saw at GuardianCon last year, where we just saw just insane plays. You know, did people really have time to get that good at Destiny 2? I don't think that they did either. People got frustrated for, you know, various reasons, some very valid, some, you know, that we might have some disagreements on, but that's interesting, and I hope that one thing that we see in the next few months out of all of these changes that we've talked about is that people come back and give the game another chance, and that it deserves that chance, and that it earns them sticking with it, and that it earns us and you listening sticking with it as well. So we'll have to see, but we'll be watching.
That we will. We'll be paying very close attention. I still check Destiny news every single day. I still browse the Destiny subreddits, all of them, even Destiny the game, even though that place has genuinely missed all mine. It's actually not been so bad recently. I guess the updates that Bungie has been giving us have been enough to sate some of the salt that usually pours out of that place, but it actually hasn't been too bad recently. So that's all for me, but I believe you had a shout-out you wanted to give to someone.
That's right. You know, we talked in our last episode about the fact that we are looking at doing, for the time being, less frequent episodes, kind of waiting and seeing what's happening with Destiny. And we had somebody go and say, hey, you know, I'm concerned that you guys might see a little bit less support right now, that you might feel a little bit less support, and I wanted to pledge. And I thought that was an incredible thing to do. Like, I honestly, at this point, you know, we talked about this last episode. We were never in this to like make money. We're not like making money now. You know, we're paying the bills. We're putting a little bit aside to do stuff, down the road, if, you know, if we find some opportunities to do some things. We did see kind of a reduction. Obviously, some people have walked away from the game, and so we saw a little bit less in the way of pledges, which isn't a big deal to us. But what happened here is a gamer, gamertag Skywalker_2905. If you see him in the wild, tell him he's awesome, because he's awesome. He reached out. He said, your guides really make the difference and have been my map to the Destiny universe since a long time ago. I'm sorry I've not supported earlier, but here I am now. And dude, I mean, it blew my mind that you decided to pledge at this point in the game and where things are. All we ever ask honestly, is that you have fun. Our goal is to share our passion and our love for digging into video games and digging into Destiny. That's always been what we've tried to do, and hopefully we've been successful. And I guess, at least, you know, for this Guardian and for a few others of you who've reached out to us about it, we have been. And that honestly is something I'm going to take away from this for years, no matter what happens with Destiny 2. So much appreciation. long story short, thanks.
Yes, thank you very, very much. Thanks to everyone who supports us. We're sorry that we haven't been making as much content. I mean, it doesn't make me feel good that I haven't been writing guides or anything like that. It's just, you know, we're like the rest of you guys. We're waiting, we're watching, we're seeing. We appreciate you continuing to support us. Even if you choose, you know, to cut it off for the time being, to decrease the amount, you know, we're just happy that you ever decided to join with us in the first place. And yeah, exactly like Kit Kutcher said, just thank you. Thank you from the very, very bottom of our hearts to you guys, because you guys are the reasons, you know, we do all this stuff. We continue to make podcasts, like, we continue to make those guides. It's for you guys. So, you know, I'm glad that we could come back and do this episode. I don't know when we're going to do the next one. Probably a lot of it depends on what the Bungie Weekly update has, when the next sandbox, you know, discussion is had. Bungie's been pretty good about giving us stuff. If Bungie were to keep up a schedule like this, where they give us stuff, then I could see going back to the weekly format. At the very latest, I'd say probably February 27th, sometime around there. Sometime around that next patch coming out is when you can expect something else from us. If not sooner. So, you know, I'll just say that's pretty much it for me, guys. But I appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And we'll see you soon.
Hey, as always, Guardians, peace.